Lord's Supper service, I believe, ought to contain preaching. Tonight, I'd like to take our text from 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 21. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 21. If you're there, it says, "He cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray and I ask that you would have your will and your way on this message, but on this whole service, the whole purpose that we are here tonight, to allow our hearts to be drawn to you, to be purified, to be sanctified, to be set apart in fellowship and communion with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Lord's table is not just a ritual. It's not a sacrament or a work to get us to heaven for sure. It's a sacred time of separation. It's a time of communion, of fellowship with Christ Himself. And it's reserved for those who are saved, who are born again. As we preached about this morning, we preached about lost and found. This is for those who are saved. But then also those who are walking in fellowship with Him and in holiness. And we're going to preach about that here before we partake. It does not mean that if you're not walking in fellowship with Him, not walking in holiness, that you just abstain. You say, "Well, I guess I'm just going to continue in sin." No, on the contrary, it seems clear in the Word of God that this is a time of cleansing, a time for us to come together as a church and to say, examine our hearts, allow Christ to examine our lives and honestly say, "Am I walking in uprightness? Am I walking in holiness and fellowship with God?" And if you can't say that, well, then to get that right so that when we walk out from here, when we partake of this cup and of this bread, and then when we walk out from here, that we'd be walking in fellowship, yes, one with another, but in such a close, renewed walk with God that is set apart and sanctified. The table of the Lord, the title of my message this evening is that it is the Lord's table. The Lord's table. And it calls every believer to remember Christ's sacrifice and to reject fellowship with the world. It cannot be more clear in our passage that you cannot live for both. As Christians, we can't live for the world and live for God. We can't be partakers of the world's table and the table of the devil and the Lord's table. So tonight is a time to choose. Tonight is a time of purification. Lord's Supper is not about filling our stomachs. It's not a meal, it's not a church potluck. It's about feeding our souls. It's about communing with Christ. It's not about the bread and the cup themselves, but what they symbolize, what they represent. And that is the body and the blood of our Savior that was spilt for us. I believe it's important, because we're a forgetful people, to remember what makes us Christians. And that is His shed blood on the cross, and how much that should mean to us. In Bible times, dining together was a sign of deep fellowship. It was a sign of friendship, of togetherness. To sit at someone's table, obviously, we know from history that they didn't sit in wooden chairs at a wooden table. It was a little bit of a different setting. But to sit at their table was to sit in their friendship and to share their peace and even their purpose. And we come to the Lord's table, we're publicly declaring that we belong to Him and Him alone. But there are some guidelines to partaking in the Lord's table. There are some guidelines that are very clearly laid out here in the Scriptures for this. I want to first of all look at the fact that the table, the Lord's table, declares our fellowship with Christ. Verse 16 of chapter number 10, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 16 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? In this, it is declaring that it symbolizes our salvation. The bread and the cup are reminders of Christ's sacrifice. His body was broken, his shed was spilt and poured out on the cross. We sang this song, the old rugged cross. It was not a nice experience. It was a terrible and gruesome thing that happened when Christ laid down his life for us. The first of the criteria in order to partake of the Lord's table is that you have to be saved. It symbolizes our salvation. Luke chapter 22, 19 and 20 speaks about how this is my body which is given for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. We do not partake to become saved. Don't get that confused. You partake because you are saved. You partake because we are doing this in remembrance of what God, the work that God has done in our hearts and how that work was performed and finished on the cross. To reflect how, yes, Jesus paid it all. So why are we dining at the world's table when Jesus saved our soul? You can't have both. You can't serve the world and serve the Lord, and you can't sit at the world's table and partake of the Lord's table. It symbolizes our salvation, but it also expresses our oneness with the Savior. John chapter 6, verse 56 says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." To gather at this table, at the Lord's table, is to renew our fellowship with God. Oftentimes, Christians, in our busyness of our life and distractions and problems and trials and heartache and bitterness and disputes and whatever may come, our abiding in Christ starts to wane. This is a time to make sure that we get our lives and put it right in the center of God's will, that we push out the distractions and we put our heart right in tune with God, and we begin abiding with Christ right here, right now. It's a renewed fellowship and renewed oneness with God. It's a sanctification. We cannot claim to be in fellowship with Christ while we're living in rebellion against His Word. You can't sit here tonight and say, "Yes, I'm going to have a partake in His table. I am in fellowship with God," yet knowing there's a portion of this Word that you refuse to surrender to. That there's your little pet thing that you will not give to God. That you're sinning and living in rebellion and trying to hold on to the world and to God. Christian, I'm telling you, it's not working. And probably everyone else sees it around you. I can promise you God sees it. Promise you, God sees the heart so much deeper than any of us can see. If you're trying to serve God and serve the world, if you're trying to join and sit at His table and the world's table, I tell you, you're only actually sitting at the devil's table. The devil's winning. So tonight, don't take lightly the fellowship that is spoken of. Don't take lightly the idea that we are to be partaking of this in oneness with Christ. It symbolizes our salvation, expresses our oneness with Christ. It ought not be taken in rebellion or disobedience. The Bible speaks of those who partake unworthily. And it explains, it says, that is why there are many among you who are sick and some even who sleep. The Bible word there, sleep, means to die. God takes His table seriously. You say, why, Pastor? He's a holy God. He's a holy God. And if we're going to come to Him and partake in His fellowship of His table and His commune with Christ, we have to commune with His holiness. We can't hold on to sin and Christ. It also proclaims His death and return. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, one chapter over here, Verse 26 says, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup," right? That's looking back at his death on the cross for us. And he says, "You do show the Lord's death till he come." So we're looking back and remembering what Christ did to look forward to realize he's coming again. He's coming again to receive his own. Every Lord's Supper is a sermon. It's a visible preaching of the gospel, a visible representation or sermon or message of the gospel until Christ returns. Charles Spurgeon said that the Lord's table is not for perfect saints. It's for those who are saints to cling desperately to their perfect Savior. It's a time for us to come out of the filth and the gunk of this world, more than a regular church service, to draw our hearts to Christ, to draw our sinfulness and give it to God, to walk in his holiness, to walk in fellowship and communion with him once again, to cling to our Savior. The table declares our fellowship with Christ, but it also, this table demands our separation from the world. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 21 says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils." It's a time of choosing. It's a time of Christians to come and be challenged to choose. Today, you can walk out of here and continue to have fellowship with the world, but you're not going to have fellowship with God at the same time. We must choose between two fellowships. You can't sit at both tables. Many Christians try to sit at both tables. They try to please the world and to please their flesh's desire and pull of the world on their lives. But you belong to Christ. You can't sit at both tables. James chapter 4 verse 4 says, "Know ye not that the fellowship of the world is enmity with God?" Hey Christian, if you're living a life that pleases the world, you're at enmity. You're making yourself an enemy of God. Stabbing God in the back. You're betraying your Savior. Young people, seasoned saint, examine your life. What is it in your life that you've allowed the world to have? What sin is it in your life that you say, "Hey, I thought I had victory over this, but I've allowed this to creep back into my life. Those words have come out of my mouth again. Those thoughts have dwelt in my mind again. My heart has been focused on this again." Whatever it is, those sins in your life that nobody knows about, you can't have those and this. It's time to choose. Compromise always breaks our communion or fellowship with God. We must choose between two fellowships. Are we going to fellowship and walk with God, or are we going to live for the world? Also, we must purge sin before we partake. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." There's a reason why before we partake of this bread and partake of this cup, it's a time to examine. It's a time to look deep into our hearts and to pray. And we're going to have a time of prayer of "Search me, O God," to root out any sin. It's a time to purge sin and filth and wrongdoing and thinking and attitudes out of our lives. Confession and repentance restore our fellowship. Then we participate. Then we participate. The table is not a refuge for sin. It's a reminder of the price of sin. Jesus died to save you from your sin. That's what this represents, is his suffering to free you from that sin. So why are you holding on to it? In order to partake, you're going to have a time to purge your sin, to beg God to root out sin, to get right with God, to get right with the Lord. And then I'd want to challenge you to live clean even after we partake. Lord's table is not designed just to be an event where we come and we get clean for the next 45 minutes. It's a lifestyle of holiness. That fellowship is to continue. There's a reason why when it's depicted in the Word of God, they sang a hymn and they went out. They didn't go out to party and to laugh and to joke around and to go watch Sunday night football. They went out seriously and thought on those things. It's supposed to be a continued fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." That "be ye" there, if you go back to the Greek, it has the idea of being continually, being separated, not just for a moment, but a continual separation. Communion without consecration is hypocrisy. I warn you, do not partake unworthily. If you're not saved here tonight, you ought not partake. You ought to get saved. If you're not right with God here tonight, you ought not to partake not right with God. You ought, though, to get right with God, to purge and pull sin out of your life, to get back in fellowship and a walk with God, and then partake. Number three, this table demonstrates our unity with Christ and with one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 says, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." So what unites us here in this room? Well, it's not our occupation. Most of us, almost all of us, have different occupation, different interests, different hobbies, different looks. What unites us is the cross. What unites us is the fact that the Lord's table is for those who are saved, who belong to him. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Christ's blood removes the walls that pride and division build and heals the fellowship of the church. If you're going to get completely right with God to partake in the fellowship and communion of the Lord's table, you're not going to continue to harbor bitterness one with another, because that would be sin. You got to get rid of that before you partake. It ought to unify our church, not behind the same sports team, not behind the same opinion, but it ought to unify our church body behind holiness, behind a dogmatic, desperate drive to walk in a close fellowship with God. Also strengthens the bond of love. The supper reminds us that we are a family in Christ. When we're fully dedicated and surrendered and purified and sanctified in Christ, and he is our sole focus, other things don't really matter as much. The Lord brings unity, and not uniformity, but spiritual harmony. And then the table demands reverence and remembrance. Once again, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. It's a holy ceremony. It's not to be entered carelessly, but reverently. Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, we see a reverent situation where Moses is told, "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." We see again in Isaiah where he sees the throne room of God and he falls on his face because of his holiness. There's a reason why I'm always getting onto the kids for roughhousing in the house of God. Because it's not a game house. It's God's house. We meet here to draw close to a holy God. And tonight, this table demands us to enter into this with reverence to God's holiness and bringing our lives under the subjection of His holiness. It's also a place of gratitude. I thought this was very fitting, being the month of November. Psalm chapter 116 states that, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation." This table reminds us that we could never repay the grace that was given to us. There's so much to thank God for. We ought to come in with reverence to His holiness, ridding our life of sin and drawing our life and under sanctification, purification, back into fellowship with God. But because we're thankful for everything He's done, because as we remember what Christ did for us on the cross, we must be thankful. We must be humbled. And we must remember. It's also a place of renewal. Each observance of the Lord's table renews our vow to live for Him who died for us. It doesn't make us any more saved. It ought to make us more separated. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, not unto a preacher, not in your own eyes, not good enough to make yourself feel all right, that I guess this is where I want to be. No, holy and acceptable unto God." Tonight is to make sure that we are holy and acceptable unto God. A preacher once said that churches have become so worldly that the world cannot see the difference. And sadly, many times, the Lord's Supper has only become another church dinner. I pray, I yearn that would not be the case in our church. It's a time of seriousness. It's a time of reverence and remembrance. It's a time of unity. It's a time of separation from the world. And it's a time of choosing what table will you sit at. You can't sit at both. This is the Lord's table. And He demands that we come reverently in remembrance, separated from the world and sin, purifying our hearts as saved individuals to Him. The table of the Lord is not a casual thing. It's a covenant. It's a promise. It's a time of recommitment. It's a call to decision, a fellowship with Christ or a fellowship of the world. Tonight, as here in a few moments, we will partake. Let's come together tonight with clean hearts through confessing any sin that we might have. The Bible even talks about confessing our sin to God. And if you sinned against someone here, going and making that right with them before you would partake. With clean hearts, through confession, with grateful spirits, grateful for His sacrifice, and with united love, one to get to another, but because of Christ. Read this poem. I've begun enjoying reading some poems. It's called "At the Table of the Lord." It says, "Here at Thy table, Lord, this sacred hour, let us feel Thee near in love and power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin. Oh, taste Thy grace and hear Thy voice within. So shall our life be filled with peace divine and every act be hallowed, Lord, to Thine." Tonight we're here for the Lord's Supper. But I want to make sure it's clear in your mind that this is His table. This table is set for His children. You have to be saved to partake. But you have to be separated. You have to choose today. Are you going to sit at the world's table, or are you going to partake from His table? You can't have both. Which means some of us, all of us, have some purifying to do at the altar. All of us have some time that we need to spend with God in prayer. Time of purification of a heart, sanctification, of confessing sin and getting right with God and maybe even others, but of preparing our hearts, our minds, our souls to receive the Lord's table. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for everything you do for us. God, I pray that you'd break our hearts. Oh, Lord, so many of us are sometimes even enamored by the world's table. God, I pray that this would be a time of real revival in our hearts, of a renewing, of a remembrance, of a sanctification. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.